I want to start off by asking you a question. I want you to be honest with me now because God knows your heart. Am I right? Who of you are tired? Who of you are heavy laden? Who of you feel now and then that it's all just too much for you? You want to pack it in and you want to run away somewhere? Well, then I'm so glad you came here tonight because God's going to talk to you. Let me read you a scripture here. It comes from the book of 2 Timothy, chapter 3. 2 Timothy, chapter 4. I'm going to read from verse 9. Paul is speaking to Timothy and he says the following. He says, "Do your best to come to me quickly. For Demas, because he loved this world, has deserted me and has gone to Thessalonica. Crescens has gone to Galatia, and Titus has gone to Dalmatia. Only Luke is with me. Get Mark and bring him with you, because he is helpful to me in my ministry. I sent Tychicus to Ephesus. When you come, bring the cloak that I left with Carpus at Troas, and my scrolls, especially the parchments. Alexander the metalworker did me a great deal of harm. The Lord will repay him for what he has done. You too should be on your guard against him, because he strongly opposes our message. At my first defense, no one came to my support, but everyone deserted me. May it not be held against them, but the Lord stood by my side and gave me the strength, so that through me the message might be fully proclaimed and all the Gentiles might hear it, and I was delivered from the lion's mouth. The Lord will rescue me from every evil attack, and will bring me safely to his heavenly kingdom. To him be the glory forever and ever. Amen." Okay. You know what? This is how life is. When we hear or we see that somebody has achieved something, sometimes we can idolize that person. Sometimes we get so caught up in what they've achieved and, you know, what we see there that we forget how difficult and how hard it was for that person to get to the place where they actually started living the dream that we see in their lives. And you know what? I want to say something to you. That is never going to change. My friend, whether you like to hear this or not, whether you believe this or not, life is not always going to be easy. Life is full of trials. Life is full of tribulations. Life is full of hardships. You know, Jesus made a statement and he said, in this life, there will be troubles. We know that there are going to be storms. We know that there's going to be difficult times. Yeah, we have the Apostle Paul busy speaking. And you know, what I find so interesting, Paul wrote 2/3 of the New Testament. He had revelations that still freak people out today. He was an amazing man. He was a man that lived close to God. He was a man that experienced the supernatural power of God in ways that most of us can only dream of. But even though he experienced all of these wonderful things, his life was not plain sailing. It didn't all fall, you know, the chips didn't all fall nicely for him, if you want to put it that way. And, you know, there's one of the things that I want to show you. If we look at this first passage, "Do your best to come to me quickly. For Demas, because he has loved this world, has deserted me and gone to Thessalonica." Yeah, he names 3 or 4 people that at one point believed in him, at one point walked this road with him, at one point was called by God to strengthen him, to support him, to uphold him. And then suddenly, for reasons that probably they understand, probably God understand, one day they just decided enough is enough. They dropped him, they left him, and they deserted him. And he actually speaks about this one man. He says, "Do your best to come to me quickly. For Demas, because he loved this world, has deserted me." What the other ones did, I'm not so sure. But he speaks about this man by the name of Demas. And he says that this man, you know that he started walking this road with me. He was enthusiastic about the message of the kingdom of God. He was enthusiastic about the way that God was working in my life and touching people and bringing change and transformation. But there came a day when the lure of the world became too strong and he deserted me. Now, you know what? Who of you have ever been deserted by somebody? Just wave your hand. How can I put it in a way that it'll make sense to you? Who of you have had a good friend? And then one day that good friend did something to stab you in the back, turn their back on you, and just drop you. Yeah, of course, all of you know that. They're right. How does it make you feel? Let me throw a couple of words out there, and then you tell me whether these words agree with what you felt. Disappointed, hurt, betrayed. And you know what? If enough disappointment and hurt is in your heart, you begin to feel hopeless. You begin to feel dejected. You begin to feel negative. You lose your zest and your zeal for life. Because you see, there's a devil in this world. Whether you like it or not, he's real. And you know, when does the devil work? The devil doesn't work when we are strong. The devil likes to mess with us when we are weak. In the book of 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8, the Bible teaches us that our enemy, the devil, he starts off like this. Be sober, be vigilant, for your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour, whom you must resist, standing firm in your faith. The devil is called a lion, or he is compared to a lion. In the Bible, we have two references to lions. There is Jesus, who is referred to as the Lion of Judah. And then there is the roaring lion, or the devouring lion, which is a reference to Satan. Why is both of them referred to in a lion sense? Because Satan, the reason he was thrown out of heaven is because he wanted to be like Christ. He's a copycat. He always will be a copycat. He doesn't know any better. And that's why he also has this lion depiction in the Bible. But now let's look at that. When he is referred to as a lion, it is also in line with his character. Because lions prey on weakness. You know, when a lion sees a herd of buffalo, there's a lot of buffalo there that he would love to have, but he's not stupid. He knows that if he goes after them, they are too young, too fit, too strong, and too fast. He's going to waste his energy. And you know, the thing, a lion can accelerate very quickly. And a lion can reach a very high speed fairly quickly. But because of his muscle, he can't keep it up for too long. Let's compare that with sprinters. You know, when you watch the Olympics, there is a big difference between somebody that runs the 1500 meters, somebody that runs the 10,000 meters, and somebody that runs the 100 meters. What does the guy look like that runs the 100 meters? He looks like a bodybuilder. Why? Because he needs muscle to accelerate quick and to hold that speed for that short period of time. The guy that's going to go the distance for the 10,000, he better not look like a bodybuilder because he won't make it around the track four times. Do you understand? Now, that's the same with a lion. A lion, the reason why they can accelerate so quickly is because they are built muscular. But that also means that after that initial burst of speed, he's going to run out of vuma very quickly. So here's the lion. He has to plan his attack very carefully. If he goes for that young one, if he goes for that strong one, if he goes for that fast buffalo, there is a slight chance that he might get him. But if he misses, he's charged up the entire herd. They've all gone in different directions, and by the time the dust settles, they're gone. And you know, then they're all charged up. They're not going to stand still. They will not allow him to come close again. So what he has to do is he has to plan carefully. He has to come as close as possible to that herd. And then he must focus on one specific individual. And he needs to make sure that it's either a very old one, because he can see the arthritis has already creeped in and he's walking with stiff legs and he's not lekker. Or it must be a very young one that is still a bit unsure on his feet. Or maybe there's one there that has already got a wound. Let's say that they got hurt somehow. You know, buffalo are always fighting with one another. Let's say that the one got hurt in his hip, and he can see that he's walking gingerly, protecting that hip. Immediately, the lion focuses on that one. And when it's time to strike, that's where he's going to go. Now, you see, we are no different. There are times in your life when you are going to have a lot of problems from the devil. And it's normally after you've had a great disappointment, after some failure in your life, after you've gone through a really, really difficult time, then the devil comes. Why? Because the devil likes to come and mess with us in our times of weakness. Now, he says, yeah, do your best to come to me quickly. For Demas, because he loved this world, has deserted me and has gone on to Thessalonica. The Apostle Paul was a man of God. Now, I want to dispel one big myth here. A lot of people believe that because we become children of God, because God comes to the place that he takes responsibility for our lives and we call God our Father, Because we accept the gospel of Jesus Christ and we become children of God, we should be divinely protected from trials and from tribulations and from problems and from suffering. And there's a lot of people that when they become children of God and they go through trial, they go through tribulation and they go through suffering, then they have an issue with God about it. Like, how dare you allow this stuff to come into my life? You see, my friend, the Apostle Paul was a great man. He was a powerful man. He was anointed. He could heal the sick. He could cleanse the leper. He could open the eyes of the blind. He could touch the cripple and they would start walking again. But that did not in any way protect him from the problems and the trials and the tribulations that this world has to offer us. And you know what? You know what makes somebody like Paul different from a lot of other people? Not the fact that he was divinely protected and he never had problems, he never had issues, he never had to face difficulty or hardship. The fact that even in the face of all of these things, he chose never to give up. You see, the thing is, the devil will try and put pressure on you because that's just the way he is. When we go through a lot of difficulties, this voice begins to speak to us. This voice says to us, you know what, surely God can't expect you to go through all of this stuff. This is unacceptable. This is not for you. Just pack it all in. This guy, his name was Demas. Demas, because he loved this world, has deserted me. Let's ask the question. You know what? I'm speaking hypothetically because Demas is not here to defend himself. I can't say exactly what it is, but we can speak about it. Why would Demas have gone back? If he walked the road with Paul, now listen to me carefully. This is what you would have experienced when you walked the road with a man by the name of Paul. An apostle of God. You would have had access to amazing teaching because that man understood the Bible in a way like very few people did. We know that he was a Pharisee before he came to Christ. We know that he studied the scriptures. We know that he had a lot of knowledge and a lot of wisdom. And after the power of God came upon him, he began to preach the word of God in power. And he said that his mission was to preach the word of God in power. And the power of God manifested wherever he went. We know that on the Isle of, I think it was Pathos or something, the one guy was busy dying or blind or something like that. And Paul went there and the man got healed. We know that the Apostle Paul, once a woman was following him and she kept saying, "This man is a man of God, this man is a man of God." He turned around, he rebuked the demon in her and immediately it left. We know that God through him healed the sick. Opened the eyes of the blind, did amazing things. How many of you would like to walk a road with somebody like that? So would I. But let me tell you something. When you walk a road with somebody like that, you should also prepare yourself. Because not every day was a wonderful day. Every day was a godly day. Every day could be an amazing day, but not every day was a wonderful day because even in Paul's life, there was problems. You know, he came to certain places where people wanted to stone him. He writes in another place that he was left for dead 3 times. Hello? They stoned him to death 3 times. Somebody speaks harshly against us and it's like, oh, I don't want to do this anymore. Huh? You know, somebody swears at you, calls you some sign language. It's like, oh, you know, I don't think this is right. I don't want to do this, you know. This man faced a lot of trial, faced a lot of tribulation. Now, here was a guy by the name of Demas that walked the road with him. I'm sure that there was a time where Demas was all excited. You know, when we're in the beginning of something, it's most like it's amazing. Do you remember when you just came to God? When you just understood that God is real and that this is not like hocus pocus, it's not a myth. You were all excited. You couldn't wait to speak to people. You couldn't wait to tell people what God has done in your life. And you know what? It's like being in love. That first couple of months of being in love, wow, the world is such an amazing place. Yes, I got some problems, but wow, I'm going to see my baby later on and everything is going to be all right. You know, hug, hug, kiss, kiss. And then everything is just amazing and wonderful. Yeah, okay, so the boss dumped all over me today, but wow, you know, seeing you in that dress, it's just, oh, I forgot all about it. Why? Because you were in love. Because it was in the beginning stages. And Demas walked the road with Paul, and in the beginning stages, he saw miracles. He was like, wow. He saw the blind eyes open. He was like, geez, this is godly. I want to be with you. This is holy ground. Let me walk this road with you. But then comes the harsh reality. Even though the power of God is available to us, we live in the world. There is a devil. Evil is everywhere. And bad things do happen to good people, whether you like it or not. You know, some people out there are just evil. God didn't make them evil. They chose to be evil. But sometimes they steal from us. Sometimes they slander us. Sometimes they stab us in the back. They can do really, really ugly things. Sometimes they stone you to death 3 times. And you know what? That's when the devil comes. Let's say in the case of Demas. He thought everything was going to be brilliant. Let's say, I don't know exactly how he met Paul, but he must have met Paul at one of Paul's meetings. Picture this. It's a Saturday morning in the synagogue. The apostle Paul walks up, takes the scrolls, and he begins to preach. The power of God begins to fill that place. Things begin to happen to people. The anointing of the Holy Spirit is tangible and it begins to touch people. They begin to feel the power of God. There's a couple of sick people there. They come for prayer. As the Apostle Paul touches them, their infirmity just disappears. Maybe there was a blind person. Maybe he touched that blind person and their eyes opened. Who knows? I don't. But Demas was there and he saw all of these things happen and he got excited. He said, wow, this is amazing stuff. Where can you go to see these things? I want in. I want this. And you know what? Probably when he said that, he meant it. I'm sure he meant it. And probably he began to walk this road with the Apostle Paul, wanting to be close to this man that experienced the power of God in such an amazing way. Probably he was committed when he started out. Probably he was dedicated when he started out. But like so many of us, probably he had this kind of wrong impression of the kingdom of God, that we are in this glass bubble and we can't be touched by problems. And so now he starts walking this road with Paul. He still enjoys the meetings, don't get me wrong. He's still excited about the things that he sees. But every second town that they go to, instead of the people being excited of them being there, the people are shouting and they come with their sickles and with their swords and they chase after them and they have to run for their lives. And then there's slander and everybody is talking nonsense about them. And you see, now the devil begins to work. The devil says something like, oh, but you know what? This is not right. Surely if God was real, he should protect you from stuff like this. How can God expect you to go and work for him and you got all of these problems? I mean, that's just not right. Be honest with me. How many of you have heard that voice? Go on, who's heard that voice? If you don't raise your hand now, you probably got a lying spirit. And then if you come, I'll cast it out. Then we try it again. Because that's exactly how the devil works. When things start going wrong, he wants you to let go. There came a day when Demas decided, I'm going back to where I came from. Do you know why people go back to where they came from? Because I've heard it like 1,000 times. People say to me, yeah, but Rian, you don't understand. When I was in the world, I had a lot less problems than now. No, you didn't. You still had the same amount of problems. You just expect because you became a child of God, you should have no problems. Think back to when you were in the world. You had a lot of problems. You had a lot of trials. You had a lot of tribulations. Back then, you used Jack Daniels to deal with it. Captain Morgan. Mr. Bells. Ding dong. Mr. Bean and Mr. Bells, yes. You had other ways of dealing with it, but tell me something. Where did that get you? For some of you, it led to divorce. For some of you, it led to spending some time in the chukki. For some of you, you wrote off your car. For some of you, you alienated a lot of people. Because when you drink, you become a different person. For some of you, it was drugs or prostitution or living a life of debauchery. But let me ask you something. When you look back at all of that stuff, where did it get you? Don't tell me it gave you peace, because it didn't. It didn't. You see, here's a reality that I want you to face tonight. When we lived in the world, we had a lot of problems. We come into the kingdom, we expect we should have no problems. But when you lived in the world, nobody could help you solve your problems. But when you become a child of God, there is somebody that can help you to sort out your problems. But the first thing we have to understand is that there is no guarantee that becoming a child of God is going to make your life plain sailing. And you see, that's one of the things that the devil likes to do. He likes to come and, oh, but Rion, you don't understand. I had a lot less problems when I was in the world. No, you didn't. You had the same amount of problems. Your expectation is just now, God must divinely protect you from everything. It's not biblical. But the Bible does say the following, that when we put our faith in Him, we put our hope in Him, and we put our trust in Him, He will always be there for us. He will never leave us, and He will never forsake us. And when things get too much for us, there will be times that He will carry us through. Did the world do that for you? No. You see, in the world, when you fall, everybody walks all over you. Come on, tell me that that's wrong. There's people in the world, they can't wait for you to fall so they can jump up and down on you and walk all over you. But in the kingdom of God, the Bible says when a righteous man falls, the Lord picks him up. I don't know about you, but I don't want to be in the world. Because the world will take advantage of you. The world will use you. The world will abuse you. Yes, the world offers a lot of pleasures. Let's speak frank. The world touches your flesh. Lust comes from your flesh. Drunkenness comes from your flesh. There's a lot of things that the flesh likes, but it's also the type of things that can get you into deep, deep trouble and a lot of hot water and gives the devil a lot of power over your life. And don't forget, Satan isn't called the thief for nothing. He is a thief. When you invite a thief into your house and he steals from you, don't get upset. You're the one that invited him. You know who he is, but you bring him in. He runs away with everything that's precious to you, and you want to complain? Don't complain. You called him. You allowed him to come. What did you think he was going to do? Just look at everything? No, he's going to run away with everything. Now, Demas deserted Paul. When you walk with God, when you minister in the power of God, you need help. Paul couldn't do what he did alone. He needed people to support him. He needed people to help him. Was Demas the first one? No. We read about 3 or 4 people there that all left him. What does that do to Paul? Hurt, betrayal, disappointment, rejection. Now let's go down to the bottom here. He says, yeah, at my first defense. Now, this is also in the time that Paul was captured by the Romans. And he was put on trial because he was preaching the gospel of Christ. He was going through a very difficult time. And you know what? Look at it from this point of view. Paul had touched at this point in time in his life thousands, if not hundreds of thousands of people's lives. Brought a lot of change, brought a lot of transformation into a lot of people's lives. But look at what happened to him when the chips were down and he was really, really in trouble. Who was there for him? Nobody. Listen to this. At my first defense, no one came to my support, but everyone deserted me. Listen, yeah, put yourself in Paul's shoes. He's called to be an apostle of God. He's called to preach the gospel. He's called to make a difference. And then when the pawpaw hits the fan, suddenly he realizes he's all alone. Okay, I'm going to say something about that now. He's all alone in this world. That doesn't mean God isn't there for him, because we know that God is there for him. But the people that he thought he could trust, the people that he thought were there for him, the people that he thought was his friends, his support, they were all gone. How do you feel when suddenly you realize everybody that you thought you could depend on deserts you and just runs away? Man, now we're going beyond betrayal. It's like your heart is broken in a million pieces. Can you imagine the pressure that this man was feeling when he was going through life and all of this stuff was happening in his life? He goes on and he says, may it not be held against them. And then he answers it this way. He says, but the Lord stood at my side and gave me the strength. This is what makes Paul different from most people. Some of us, this is the way we are. People turn their back on us. We see it as God has also turned his back on us. Listen, yeah, when a person deserts you, it doesn't mean that God has deserted you. When a person speaks bad about you, it's not God's fault. Paul understood something that a lot of us need to understand. When the Bible says, I will never leave you and I will never forsake you, he means it. You don't always need people, because God is the only one sometimes that will always be there for you. And let me tell you something about people. Even people with good intentions will sometimes disappoint you, even if they don't do it on purpose. People are fallible because we are flesh. We are flesh and blood. And flesh and blood can make mistakes. Sometimes even good people can say things they shouldn't say, or do things they shouldn't do, or hurt you in some way, or even betray you. Do you know where we make a big mistake? When people do that to us, we choose to allow the devil to use that as the catalyst to cause us to start falling apart. The Apostle Paul, if he allowed that, would have gone nowhere. Because you see, the devil didn't like him. There are two kingdoms in this world. It's the kingdom of God and it's the kingdom of Satan. There is an invisible war going on at all times between the kingdom of God and the kingdom of Satan. When you preach the gospel, you step on the devil's toes. When you step on the devil's toes, he moves and mobilizes things against you. He starts touching people around you. This wasn't the first time this happened to Paul. This must have happened a lot of times in his life and in his ministry. But here we see something about the character of this man. Even when things were really bad, he comes back and he says, but I was okay. You know why? Because God did not desert me. He chose to receive his strength from God, not from the people around him. There might be times in your life where everybody deserts you, and the devil is going to want you to fall into the pit of despair. He wants you to feel despondent, and he wants you to feel hopeless. Listen to me carefully. If you believe the Bible, you should also believe that God is for you and not against you. You should also believe that he wants to make you the head and not the tail. You should also believe that he will never leave you and never forsake you. Because Paul believed that. You know, there's a difference between somebody that believes something and somebody that just preaches it. There's a lot of pastors in this world, they preach a lot of nice sounding stuff, but when you go and look at their lives, that's not the way they live their life. The Bible calls them hypocrites. Because the only way to touch the hand of God and the heart of God is through faith. And God knows whether you have faith or not. Paul had faith in God, irrespective of whether there was people with him or not. He was still going to do what he was called to do. He was going to take it on the chin. He was going to trust God that if it knocked him down, God would pick him up and he was going to move on. Because you see, one thing he knew, this is my call. This is all I've called to do. I'm going to do it to the best of my ability. And when I'm weak, I'm going to trust in God's strength and God will take me through. Let's look at that. At my first defense, no one came to my support, but everyone deserted me. May it not be held against him, but the Lord stood at my side and gave me the strength. Here's a question. Where do we find our strength? I said to you just now that some of us, we find our strength in alcohol. Some people find their strength in sexual debauchery. Some people try and find their strength in being angry, lashing out at people, being bitter, being full of unforgiveness. If you want to make it the way that the Apostle Paul made it, you got to do what he did. You have to come to the place that you find your strength in God. Not in people, not in objects, not in things, not in substance, but in God. And then he says, but the Lord stood by my side and gave me the strength, so that through me the message might be fully proclaimed and all the Gentiles might hear it. And I was delivered from the lion's mouth. Oh, do you hear that? Who's the lion? We know that the lion is the devil. The Apostle Paul, in his own words, admits that many times the devil came for him. Many times Satan tried to destroy him. He tried to destroy him through people. Many times people would raise up against him or rise up against him. Many times gossip, slander, envy, jealousy, all of these things through people came and touched his life. He was left for dead 3 times. He says, but because he trusted in God for his strength, every time he was delivered from the lion's mouth. He wasn't delivered from the lion, from the lion's mouth. In other words, the devil was already there. It was like Satan was standing in front of him saying, say goodbye, boy. I got you. But he didn't. Why not? Because of where Paul's focus was. He did not put his faith in man. He did not put his faith in corporations. He did not put his faith in any worldly institution. He put his faith in God. And you know what the Bible calls that? Faith. That is called true faith. It's belief. And the Bible says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. Now, let's just turn that around. If it is impossible to please God without faith, then what happens when you have faith? You start pleasing God. And when God is pleased with you, hold on to your seatbelt, because things are going to start happening for you. Do you agree with me that the God that we serve is supernatural? Yes. Listen here, my friend, just go read your Bible. He could part the seas. He could give manna and quail in the desert. Hello? He could cause water to come from a rock. Hello? He opens the eyes of the blind. He raises the dead. What we see around us as obstacles to God is nothing. One word from his mouth, one point from his finger, and it's gone. The darkness that surrounds you right now, the Bible says God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. God rocks up, the light is gone. Ach, the darkness is gone. What you see today as a huge problem, what you see as an insurmountable obstacle, for God is nothing. But then God must be in your life. Another problem that we're sitting with in this day and age is that, unlike the Apostle Paul, that through good times and bad times, through trials and tribulations, always had his faith, hope, and trust in God, the way things work today is a little bit different. We spoke about this man, Demas, who went back to the world. That seems to be the way things happen today. When the pawpaw hits the fan and nobody can do nothing for you, the doctors can't help you anymore, your wife wants nothing more to do with you, she wants a divorce, then people run to the church. Oh, you must pray for me, you must help me. Oh, God, please, please see me, help me. You know, sometimes God actually does have mercy on people because he's a father and he loves his children. And then 6 months later, they're back in the world, partying up a storm, doing all sorts of stuff that is wrong. My friend, it can't be that way. It can't be that way. Look at what he says next. And I was delivered from the lion's mouth. The Lord will rescue me from every evil attack and will bring me safely to his heavenly kingdom. Listen to the faith of this man. He knows all about evil attacks because he's had so much trial and tribulation, so much problems, so much destruction in his life. But he says, you know what? Bring it on. Because I know who is for me. I know who goes ahead of me. I know who my God is. And with him, you know, in one of the Psalms, I don't know if it was David that wrote that Psalm, but he says, in Afrikaans, hy met my God. Loop ek 'n bende storm, met my God spring ek oor 'n muur. If I translate that directly, he says, with my God, I will take on any enemy, and with my God, I will jump over every wall. David and Paul shared the same faith in God. They believed that there was nothing impossible for God. Today, unfortunately, a lot of people, their faith and their belief is no longer in God, but in worldly things. And then when they desperately need God, they wonder why nothing happens. Because you have to have faith for things to happen. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. I want to look at this. The Lord will rescue me from every evil attack. Let's talk about that. Every evil attack. Have you sometimes felt like, man, there must be somebody working against you? Man, it's just not normal that these type of things go wrong in my life. It's like I just start getting my life going forward and then something knocks me back. Who's felt that way? Well, you're right. There is somebody. It's called the devil. And you know what? I can't say anything good about him, but I can tell you he works bloody hard. Because he doesn't want your life to go forward. He wants you to go backwards. He doesn't want you to discover who you are. You know, there was a time in the Apostle Paul's life that he was a Pharisee. But he had a call on his life. The call on his life was to make a difference. The call on his life was to preach the gospel of the kingdom of God. To preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then one day he had an encounter, a supernatural encounter, where he saw the angel of God appear to him. He was blinded by the radiance that came. For 3 days he was blind. And then later on, a man had to come and pray for him, and the scales fell off of his eyes. And after the scales fell off of his eyes, Paul began to see life completely differently. And you know what one of the things was that he saw? He began to see the destiny that God had put inside of him. And he understood that the path that he took and the path that God wanted for him, the path that God destined for him, was different. And he began to walk in the way of God's purpose for his life. There are some of you sitting here tonight. You know, when I opened up and I was praying, I spoke of some people that are stuck in a pit, some people that have hit a dead end, some people that are on a wrong road. That's the reality of life. A lot of us are right now in a place where God doesn't want us. And we need to, just like the Apostle Paul, see the light for us to realize that where we are or what we're trying to do is not what God wants for us right now. When Jesus spoke to Paul on the Damascus road and he fell off the donkey and he was blinded by the light, he spoke to him and he said to him, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? It is hard for you to kick against the pricks." It is hard for you to kick against the pricks. If the Apostle Paul was pricked because he was constantly pushing in the wrong direction, what makes you think that you're much different? You know, some of us, here's just a thought that popped into my head right now. Some of us get upset because the devil's giving us a hard time, but sometimes it's not even the devil, it's God. He's pricking you because you are forcing something that you were not created to do. You are trying to go down a path that God sees. You keep on that path, you're going to have big problems somewhere, my friend. I'm trying to help you. I'm pricking you, go back, but you insist to keep going in that direction. The Apostle Paul had to understand what God had for him. He did. He embraced it and he went forward. The Lord will rescue me from every evil attack and bring me safely to his heavenly kingdom. Now let me show you something else. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7. Again, the Apostle Paul speaking. He says, "To keep me from becoming conceited because of the surpassingly great revelations, there was given to me a thorn in my flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me. 3 times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me, but he said to me, 'My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness.' Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weakness, so that Christ's power may rest on me. This is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weakness, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties. For when I am weak, I am strong." Here's something else that the Apostle Paul understood that sometimes we don't. It's okay to be weak, as long as you understand that God is strong. You see, the reason it's okay to be weak is because the problem comes in with people that want to do everything themselves. Listen to me carefully. If you have the reins of your life, then God can't have them at the same time. God's the one that needs to have the reins of your life. And you know, that's the problem with a lot of people. They, even though they commit their life to God, whenever there's a problem, whenever things are going a bit where they don't like it, they want to take back the reins. What can I do to sort this out? How can I do this? Tell me something. Do you know what the day of tomorrow holds? No, you don't. When you steer a ship, you need direction. Most of us don't even know where to go. Right now, you don't know exactly where to go with your life, but God does. We need to come to the place that we acknowledge our weakness and put our faith in the strength of God. Because it is truly only the strength of God that's going to take us from today through tomorrow, through next week, to wherever we need to go. Paul understood that. Listen to this again. He says this. God spoke to him and said, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness." Georgie, there's going to come times when there are things you can't deal with. The last thing you should do then is get upset and start shouting at God. Because that's what a lot of people do. Why are you doing this to me? How can you bring me to this place? Why aren't you there for me? Why don't you help me? Listen to me carefully. God wants to do that. But every time you start yelling at Him and shouting at Him, you are trying in your strength to move God. Tell me something. Can you do that? No. What you need to do is acknowledge your weakness. Yes, Lord, I've come to a place in my life. There's nothing more I can do. I need you. And you see, when you come to that place and you say to the Lord, I need you, then you stop all your contingency plans. Oh, well, you know, if this doesn't work, I'm going to do that. If that doesn't work, I'm going to do that. Do you have faith in Him? Yes. Acknowledge your weakness. Lord, I can't do this. I can't do it alone. I need you. I'm going to trust in you. I don't know how this is going to happen, but you're going to take me through this. He says, therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weakness. The Apostle Paul was proud of the fact that he was weak. And in a sense, what he's really saying is, I'm proud of the fact that I am the servant. God is the master, and my life belongs to Him. And when I am confronted with a situation that I can't do nothing about, I'm going to accept that. I can't do anything about it. It'll fall into place in God's time. Because He's the powerful one, not me. He will make a way where there seems to be no way. You know, sometimes we're stuck in a place. Let's metaphorically speak about this room. If we go and we lock that door at the back and we lock that door at the back, now we're trapped. Do you agree with me? Now, let's say the door is locked, but somebody's got the key. They tell us that they will come. They don't tell us exactly when, but they're going to come and they're going to come and unlock the door for us. Now, some of us might think like, who are you to tell me I must wait? I don't feel like being here. Nobody keeps me from doing what I want to do. And you go and you start kicking against the walls. You start banging against the burglar bars. What are you ultimately going to do? You're just going to hurt yourself, aren't you? Because there's only one way out. That's when the one with the key comes and opens the door. Now, in a sense, that's what's happening in a lot of people's lives. They don't like the place where they are right now. And instead of acknowledging their weakness and putting their faith, their hope, and their trust in God to come and open the door when the time is right, they keep kicking against it. And when you do that in the process, there's only one result. You're going to get hurt. And when you get hurt, you're going to become frustrated and angry, and it's going to lead to all sorts of other stuff. What must you do? Wait on God. Why? Because in His strength, He will move that mountain or say to that sea, open up, whatever the case might be, and it will work. But it's when He's in charge, not when we're in charge. That is why, for Christ's sake, I will delight in my weakness. I will delight in insults, in hardships, and in persecutions, and in difficulties. Okay, now, let's just talk about that. When you listen to that, you might think that this oak is crazy, but he's not, because he understands how God works. He says, I delight in weakness. I delight in insults. How do you feel when somebody insults you? If you're from Springs, you punch him in the face, right? Then you drive over him with your car twice. Yeah. The Apostle Paul handled conflict a little bit differently. He says, I delight in insults. I delight in hardships. I don't know, when you read this stuff, you realize that we got a long way to go. Because that's not how the average person reacts when we go through problems. But why does he delight in that? Because it's only when you get to that place that God starts being in charge. That you truly begin to put your faith in God and not in yourself. You know what? Between now and whenever God takes you home, there's probably going to be 1,000 times that people are going to be ugly to you. It's in some people's nature to be ugly. Remember, God never made them that way. That's their decision to be that way, but that's just the thing. Some people like to be ugly. Some people like to gossip. Some people like to slander, drag your name through the mud. Some people like to lie about you. And there's going to come times that you get hurt. What must you do? Lord, this is another opportunity for your strength to come into my life and deliver me from the situation. Can I tell you where we sometimes go wrong? And maybe I'm speaking to a couple of you here. What made the Apostle Paul different is he trusted in God to fight his battles for him. Some of us, we insist on fighting every single battle that is out there. Let me tell you what, if the devil sees that in you, you're never going to have no rest. Because he's going to send those type of people across your path all the time. They're going to come and touch, pick, charge you. And your whole life will be violence, anger, frustration, etc., etc., because the devil sees that this is what you do. Paul handled it a little bit differently. He gave it to God. He said, I am weak. You are strong. I see this far. You see everything. Please sort this out for me. And you know what God did? God sorted it out for him. Now, 1 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 25 says, for the foolishness of God is wiser than man's wisdom, and the weakness of God is stronger than man's strength. Think about it. God didn't need to move a muscle to create everything we see. Genesis chapter 1 verse 1, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was dark and formless. The earth was formless and empty, and darkness covered the surface of the deep. And the Lord spoke, and he said, let there be light. Boom. There was light. How did God create everything? Look at your neighbor and say, he spoke. All God has to do to change something is to speak. Is it difficult for you to speak? Did you battle to get that word out? Did you have to fast for 7 years and pray for 25 before you could say that word? No, you didn't have to, did you? To speak is one of the easiest things in the world. Therefore, it's not difficult for God to change your situation, is it? All he has to do is speak. Do you think God wants to speak into your life? For sure he does. Do you think God wants to speak to that mountain that's keeping you from going forward? He definitely does. But the thing is, we need to come to a place that we have faith in him. Because if you don't have faith in him, his hand doesn't move. His mouth doesn't speak in your life. We have to have faith. And he says here, for the weakness of God is stronger than man's strength. All of us together, if the whole world was to try and mobilize and in some way try and do something against God, we couldn't do nothing. Because all the strength of man together doesn't even touch the weakness of God, because God has no weakness. Amen? God has no weakness. So when it comes to your strength versus God's strength to solve the problem that you are confronted with right now, which one's going to get the job done? not yours. God's. God's. Isaiah 41 verse 10. So do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you, and I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Are you in a situation right now where you need more than what you have? In other words, you don't have the courage, you don't have the willpower, you don't have the commitment, you don't have the dedication, you don't have whatever. Raise your hands if you are in a situation like that right now. You need something. This is what God said. Keep your hand up. Listen to this. First thing, do not fear. You know, when we're confronted with something that's bigger than us, for some of us, the first impulse we have is fear. I have to run. I can't do this. God says, calm down. Wait a minute. Don't give way to fear. I'm in charge. I know how to handle this. My perspective is different from yours. It's not as bad as you think. And I'm going to give you the strength. Here's what he says. So do not fear, for I am with you. The Apostle Paul understood this. Because even though nobody was there for him, even though everybody abandoned him, he understood that he is never alone, because God will never leave us and God will never forsake us. Listen to me. Even when everybody in your friendship circle turns their back on you, when your family turns their back on you, when they kick you out into the streets and they want nothing more to do with you, when the world tells you you're mad to believe in God because there is no God, when the world comes to you and they say to you, show me your God, we don't believe in him. You must understand one thing. God is still there. And when you put your faith in him, not yourself, not those around you, then you begin to see his power. And then he says to you, do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. And I will help you, and I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. There are times when we think to ourselves, I don't have the strength, I don't have the energy, I'm going to give up now. No, that's when the hand of God comes, and he picks you up. Ephesians 3 verse 16. I pray that out of his glorious riches, God might strengthen you with power through his Holy Spirit in your inner being. I want to talk about that because it's important. Some of us, the reason why we have no energy and we have no strength, because your spirit is weak. Your inner being, your spirit, your soul is dead, is tired. When we put our faith in God, why would he pray this? Listen to this. So again, Paul speaking, he says, I pray that out of his glorious, God's glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power through his Holy Spirit in your inner being. He's not talking about the flesh. You know, you can have a man that can bench press 300 kilograms, but he can't handle conflict. He can't handle pressure. He falls apart when the pawpaw hits the fan. The problem is not the flesh. The flesh is strong. He can break you in half, but he can't handle pressure. What must happen? The inner man must be strengthened. The soul, the spirit needs the power of God to come. Some of us, the reason why we feel we can't go forward anymore, your spirit has become weak. Can God do something about that? Guess who made you? Guess who gave you that spirit? God. You know, if you drive a VW and the thing packs up, you take it to the VW garage. Why? Well, not because they're cheap, but because they built it and they understand how to fix it, am I right? And they can normally fix it. When you drive a Mercedes, you take it to the Mercedes dealership because they built it, they know what's wrong with it, they plug in their diagnostic machines, the computer says it's this valve, that. They put a new one, it works again. Now, you see, when your spirit starts going wrong, when your spirit gets weak, when tiny things cause you to be upset and frustrated and you just lose it, where must you go to fix that? You can go to Valium. It's just going to put you on a block. Hello? You can try Prozac. It's going to mess with your head. You can try steroids. You're going to grow funny things in funny places. Or you can go to God. and let him touch your spirit and raise your spirit. You know, I want to say something here. The Bible says, John chapter 10, verse 10, the thief came to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But I have come that you might have life and that you might have life more abundantly. God wants us to have abundant life. The devil wants to steal your life. And sometimes when you've taken knock after knock after knock, your spirit does become weak. There's only one way for your spirit to become strong again. God must do it. Can he do it? Yes, he can. Will he do it? You know he will. He prays that for us. He will. Last scripture, Isaiah 40 verse 31. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on the wings of eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not grow faint. If you understand that you are weak, but God is strong, if you wait on God to give you the strength, you will do things you never thought was possible. If you think you can do it yourself, you will not manage to do 10% of what God called you to do. Probably you'll do nothing. So here's what I want to say to you. I believe tonight the Lord wants to speak to us about these things. There's a lot of us that has come to a place. The Lord gave me a word tonight before I started ministering, and he said to me that there is a spirit of defeat working against these people. People feel defeated. You feel that you've come to a place that you just can't do it anymore. It's all too much for me. Surely God can't expect me to do this. This is not right. I don't have the strength. I don't have the energy. I don't have the power to do this anymore. Some of you, you've had this voice speak to you, say, this is a load of nonsense. Why serve God when you just got all these problems, all this trial and all this tribulation? Just give it up. Some of you, like Demas, the world has been calling you back, saying, listen, yeah, you know what, just come back and party with us and just give your life to sin and give your life to debauchery and just have fun again. Do that at your peril, because Satan is called the god of this world. And when you run back to the world, you run back to him. That's what he's waiting for. So he can destroy your life. God wants to strengthen people. I really believe that tonight the Spirit of God is going to come. I want to read the scripture again. I pray that out of his glorious riches, which simply means that God can never run out, he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being. Tonight, I know that there's people that came for specific things, and I'll pray for that as well, but I want to pray for those that are weak, that are tired, that are weary. Those of you that feel defeated, those of you that this thing has been speaking to you about giving up. I don't have it anymore. I can't do this anymore. And I believe tonight God will touch you. The Holy Spirit will come and touch you, as Paul prayed, in your inner being. Some of you, your spirit is at the point of dying. That's why you got no energy. That's why nothing excites you anymore. Nothing uplifts you anymore. You need that life. You need God to strengthen you. And he will. And I want to end off by saying to you this. What made the Apostle Paul a different type of person? Wasn't that he didn't have trials and tribulations. Wasn't that he didn't go through disappointments. Wasn't that everything always worked out for him. He probably had more problems than all of us put together. But even in the midst of all of that, he never turned his back on God. He never cursed God. And he understood that it's okay for me to be weak. Because it's when I understand that I am weak and I can't do it all myself, that's when the power of God is manifest through me and things fall into place. His eyes were on God. He didn't curse God because of his problems. He ran to God because of his problems. And that's a big difference between him and a lot of people today. When things go wrong, they curse God very quickly. How dare you do this stuff? I gave my life to you. Why aren't you there for me? You don't hear that come from Paul's mouth. When he came to God in humility. I need help. You're the only one that can do it. Please. And the doors opened for him. And he was delivered from every evil. Amen. Amen. Did you learn something tonight? Give the Lord a hand, please.